What's going on, gym rats? This is Game Point. I'm Mr. Fundamental. Let's get it. Welcome to my weekly podcast. First, I would like to thank my first sponsor. Yes, I got my first real sponsor, BlackTux.com. Thank you for sponsoring my show. I'm really excited that they're sponsoring my show. It means I must be doing something right and talking some good sports. Well, let's get into it. It's March Madness. Sweet 16 is set. I don't know what everybody else's brackets look like. Mine actually looks really, really good. It doesn't mean it'll finish really good, but I'm going to talk about the brackets. Obviously, you got the East and West. All top four seeds get in to the Sweet 16. In the South, the top three seeds with a little bit of Oregon gets into that one. And then in the Midwest, you got the number one, the number two, and the number three, and the number five seeds. So not too many upsets. To be honest with you, my East bracket almost looked perfect. The only thing I didn't pick was Minnesota beating Louisville. On the West bracket, I had Arizona State beating Buffalo, which didn't happen, and Nevada beating Florida. But I do have all teams in it, and I'm very excited about that. Well, except for Auburn, I had New Mexico State beating Auburn. So let's go through the games that happened. First off, Duke, who I have winning the national championship, in my eyes, got lucky as hell. Lucky as hell to win that game. UCF, man, played great basketball. They were not scared of Duke. They weren't scared of their big two guys. But let me tell you something. This is where you have to teach boxing out on the free throw. And I know it was tough because UCF's big man got fouled out on that play. And I guarantee if he didn't foul out, they would have got the rebound. They would have got fouled. The game would have got longer. But UCF still had a chance to win at the end. They almost made a bucket at the end. So Duke is lucky. But it shows how Duke is not the guaranteed winner. They do have problems on offense. Sometimes they get stagnant. And they don't shoot the ball, the three ball, very well. Other than that, Virginia Tech looked really good. Michigan State, who I believe was screwed out of a number one seed, is still alive, but still they'll have to go through Duke to get to the Final Four. Like I said, for them to be a number two seed was highway robbery in my eyes. I mean, Michigan was a number two seed, and they went 3-0 versus Michigan. I believe that Michigan State should have had the number one over Gonzaga. Gonzaga is still alive. They're going to be playing Florida State. Texas Tech looking really good. They'll be playing Michigan, of course. And then on the other side, you got Virginia and Oregon. I did have Oregon in my Sweet 16. They're my big upsets. I do have them upsetting Virginia as well. Purdue is playing Tennessee. North Carolina versus Houston. And let me talk about those Houston Cougars. I am very impressed with the Houston Cougars. They got a great backcourt. They play great defense. Calvin Sampson is coaching those guys up. Can they beat Kentucky? I think they can. Will they? I'm not sure. I am a homer, so I did pick Houston to beat Kentucky. But here's the thing with Houston. I went to the University of Houston the last 5 years. I actually graduated in 2009, but the last 5 years, Houston has been growing. They built a new basketball stadium, a new football stadium. The campus has been getting bigger. And here's the problem I have with Houston. They're in a terrible conference, but no one will let Houston into a bigger conference. Like the Big 12 will not allow Houston get in the Big 12. Here's why. Because Houston is a hotbed for recruiting and football and basketball. And the University of Texas, the University of Oklahoma, does not want Houston in the Big 12. Because if they get in the Big 12, I guarantee you, Houston would be a powerhouse, not just in football, but even basketball. Because Houston is a hotbed for some football players, especially, and some basketball players as well. But Houston, yeah, I got them winning. So let's go through these games and who I got winning. Duke and Virginia Tech. I think Virginia Tech can win this game, but I went with Duke. I love Coach K. But here's the thing. Every time I pick Duke to go to the finals or even win it, they always lose. And they usually lose early. So I probably did jinx them, and Virginia Tech will probably go ahead and win this game. But I have Duke. LSU, Michigan State. I got Michigan State. I think Michigan State is well-rounded. They're a good defensive club. Great coaching up there. Offense is more fluid than most teams. So I got Michigan State going to the Elite Eight. Gonzaga, Florida State. This is an easy one for me. Gonzaga, I'm not really sold on. Florida State, I really like. They're a tough-knitted group. I think Florida State will beat Gonzaga. Michigan, Texas Tech. This one is a toss-up. I'm not really sold on either team yet, but Texas Tech is the best team they've had in many years, and they play great defense. And Mr. Fundamental loves great defense. I got Texas Tech in a wild one. I think a double overtime thriller to get into the Elite Eight. Houston, Kentucky. I think the Houston backcourt of Brooks and Davis can cause havoc. But Kentucky's got a lot of talent as well. Both coaches, I believe, are great coaches. But I think Houston will edge it out. Now, I did pick this one more with my heart, being a homer. If I put my NLS cap on, I'd probably say Kentucky will win this one. And I think they'd probably win it big. But I think Houston can pull it out. Auburn and North Carolina. I wasn't sold on Auburn at all. I had Auburn losing to New Mexico State in the first round. North Carolina right now looks like the best team playing right now in the NCAA tournament. So I think they'll spank Auburn in this one. Tennessee and Purdue. Purdue, I love actually Purdue. My brother is a graduate of Purdue. I love Carson Edwards coming out of Atascocita, Texas here, not too far away. But I'm not sold on Purdue either. They only got Carson Edwards, who can score, and he only shoots 38% from the field. They're a poor shooting club. Tennessee, I love. They're clicking on all cylinders. They are scrappy on defense, a good rebounding team. I think Tennessee will blow this game away. Now, Virginia and Oregon. Virginia, man, did you guys watch that first round game? They probably were scared for a while. I remember looking up at the scoreboard. They were down by 8, like late in the first half. But then they pulled it out, and then they took out Oklahoma. I love Bol Bol in Oregon. I love everything about Oregon. I thought they were kind of robbed on being the 12th seed. But guess what? I got Oregon going to the Elite Eight. But let's not stop there, Gym Rats. Let's keep going. Since I'm not going to get on until next week, let's go through the Elite Eight. I'm going to pick who my Final Four is. Now, you got Duke and Michigan State. Now, obviously, I picked Duke because I think they're going to win it all. But since, like I said, every time I pick Duke, I jinx. So maybe Michigan State will win. But I do got Duke going in the Final Four. Florida State and Texas Tech. This is going to be another great game. Every game Texas Tech is going to be in this coming up week, the Michigan game, and then the Florida State game are going to be classics. But I think Florida State will get to the Final Four. Houston and North Carolina, as much as I want to make a homer call, North Carolina is too damn good. North Carolina beating up on Houston. Now, Tennessee and Oregon is going to be an interesting one, but like I said, I'm sold on Tennessee. Tennessee is a team that can win a national championship this year, and I think they can. So I think Tennessee will go over Oregon. But overall, when you're looking at the brackets, there wasn't too many wow upsets. A couple good games, but nothing too exciting. So what do you guys think? Was it good? Great for college basketball. You got to love March Madness. It kind of covers up the end of the NBA regular season, you know, where teams are still tanking and, you know, teams that have already clinched the playoffs are taking time off. This is the perfect time for March Madness. And you just love it because it's not a 7-game series, not the best of 5. This is the best team that day. And you know in basketball, anything can happen. I mean, just think about it. Back, what was it, in the 2001 NBA Finals, you had Philadelphia. Was it 2001? I might be wrong. 2001 NBA Finals, you had the Philadelphia 76ers and the Los Angeles Lakers. Los Angeles Lakers had Kobe and Shaq. There was no business of Philadelphia winning that series. Now, if it was March Madness, Philadelphia actually did win Game 1. So if it was March Madness style, Philadelphia would have been the world champions that year. But instead, when you got a best of 7, Shaq and Kobe took the next 4 games, won the series 4-1. There's your champions. But yes, that's what I mean. The best team does not always win the NCAA tournament. A lot of people think Duke is, but they can get beat on any given day, which UCF should have done, and they fell short. But it was a great game to watch. Like I said, if you're a coach, that's the clip you need to show when you rebound the ball. Rebound, box out, wait till the ball comes down, then come to the ball. If you notice the kid on the right, he actually jumped a little too early and the ball went over his head and Duke got the putback. So a big missed opportunity by UCF. Duke is still alive. Coach K is still happy. And so far, a Duke NC North Carolina final national championship would be a treat. And here's a fun fact I didn't even know. You know Duke and North Carolina have never played in an NCAA tournament? I never knew that. I thought that was crazy. And then to meet in the national championship, which is a real possibility this year, whew, that would be wild. I can't wait to see that. And that's what actually I do got predicted. I got Duke in North Carolina going to the championship and playing each other, where Duke will battle it out and win that one. That'd be great for North Carolina, right? Overall, the Carolinas, Duke and North Carolina in the finals. Who can beat that? I don't know who could. But thanks again for listening. I'm glad you guys listen to me every week. Like I said, you can find me on Anchor, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and others. All you have to do is search Game Point with Mr. Fundamental, and there I am. I'm here every week. Just check me out and listen to the sports, and we'll get after it. But let's get on to some more stuff. Let's move on to the NFL. And this hits me at heart. Everybody knows I'm a Patriot fan. I'm a Celtic fan. I'm a Red Sox fan. A little bit of a Bruins. I'm much of a hockey fan, but I still like the Bruins. But on the Patriots side, Rob Gronkowski retires yesterday. And boy, this was not a surprise, but still, I wasn't expecting. If I put my money on, I thought he was going to come back. I thought he, you know, Brady would say, hey, come on, baby, one more year. And this is crazy because he's only 29 years old. But when you look at his stats for a 29-year-old, if he would have played four more years, he would have shattered about every record. This guy was a beast. But I know where he's coming from. He wants to end his career on his terms, and number one reason, healthy. This guy took a beating. I've never seen a guy take so many hard hits. A guy that's so hard to take down. You got little guys jumping at his knees. You got guys coming hard. You got guys even hitting him after the play. I can understand why he retired. But man, is this a blow to the Patriots. Let's think about this. Who are Brady's weapons now? Obviously, he lost everybody to free agents, which he does every year. Really, right now, the only weapon he has is Julian Edelman. Who else do you have? Now, you got Sony Michel in the backfield, you know, the rookie last year who was a great power runner. I think he'll improve. I think he'll be a good weapon for Tom Brady. But I'm talking about now in the receiving corps. Think about this, guys. If you, the other defense, and the only weapon you got is Edelman, you just double team him and jam him, and then Brady can't get that ball out. When you had Gronk, it actually helped Edelman get some single coverage. It actually helped Edelman get out of those breaks a lot quicker. Now there's no Gronk. And then you look at the receivers on the roster, you're thinking, man, where are we going to get the speed from? Where are we going to get guys that can break out? Where's our next tight end, which you know for years has been the staple of the Patriots offense? Now, I know they got Gordon. They tendered Gordon. But I understand why they did. It's only $2 million. But, you know, he's got busted for substance abuse so many times, I would think the NFL is going to suspend him the whole year. I'm thinking at least 8 games, but I wouldn't be surprised the whole year. But the Patriots know something that I don't know. But I guess, you know what, that's why in Bill we trust. I think Bill Belichick probably had a plan for this all along. You see it all the time. You see him just before like a star defensive end, you know, goes into free agency. He drafts one the year before and develops him. Just like Malcolm Butler, you know, they had a plan for him. They let him go. Malcolm Butler went to Tennessee. Malcolm Butler was one of the lowest rated cornerbacks this year. And the Patriots kept on going. So in Bill, we trust. But let's get back to Gronk. A lot of people in the sports world were talking about, is he a first ballot Hall of Famer? Where does he rank overall in tight ends? I'm going to tell you both. Number one, yeah, he is a first ballot Hall of Famer. The guy was probably the best tight end we've ever seen. I'm not going to say ever, just because he only had 9 years. There's more to it when you go the top five, like four overall, which I'll give you, okay? But the way he changed the game, how much of attention that the defenses had to give this man, the catches he made was sensational. No one could have matched that. That's why I believe he's definitely a first ballot Hall of Famer. I mean, he has 79 touchdowns, 521 receptions, 7,861 yards in 9 years, 5 Pro Bowls. And then he missed a lot of time as well. He wasn't healthy, a lot of it. He missed chunks of games almost every year. So to tell me that he's not a first ballot Hall of Famer, you got to be crazy. But most people have been on the, hey, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. But, you know, like I said, a lot of people also think, well, he's only played 9 years. He doesn't deserve it. Hush that. But here's why I rank him all time. Do I rank him the best receiver of all time? Or excuse me, not the best receiver, the best tight end of all time? I cannot. If he would have kept on playing maybe 2 or 3 more years, I think he would have. But I got 3 guys ahead of them. And one is Tony Gonzalez. I mean, come on, man. The guy was sensational. He was the one that really put the tight end position on the map. He's the guy that really changed the way the offenses looked at tight ends. He's what made the tight end, the quarterback security blanket. After that, I got Antonio Gates. Gates, he's just had a long, long career. He's been super successful. He's number 2. I mean, mostly just because of all the stats. He's obviously the touchdown leader, but his stats are great. I would put him number 2. Jason Witten, I'd just put barely ahead of Gronk. Barely. So if Gronk would have played one more year, I think he would have jumped Witten. But I think Witten, because he's number 4 all time on receptions, all time. You know, so him being up there, I think puts it, and he's coming back too. You know, and with that said, you think, guys, that Gronk would come back? You think Gronk would go ahead and say, hey, I want to come back and change his mind? I think he might. Let's think about this. The one thing that he talked about when he was talking about possibly retiring is all the hits, all the grind. Now let's think about this. Let's think about 8 weeks into the season, the Patriots are 6-2, 5-3, whatever. Probably be 5-3 and everybody's going to be talking them off. And Brady calls up Gronk and says, Gronk, come back, baby. Play the rest of the season. You think Gronk might? I can see it happening. I really do. Now, will Gronk leave forever? I think I can see that happening as well. I understand where Gronk is coming from. Like I said, he's injury prone. He wants to stay healthy, but he's also a businessman. Gronk is a very popular guy in the entertainment circle. I promise you, he'll probably be in the WWE not too long from now. He already talked about maybe wrestling and stuff like that. He'd be an exciting guy for the WWE. Maybe acting a little bit. You'll see him on the next big comedy movie. So there's money to be made out there for Gronk. So obviously it wasn't a money issue, because I think he'll make more money in Hollywood or in wrestling, like I said. He'll be somewhere. But I wouldn't count out him not coming back. We've seen it before. But Gronk, congratulations to your career if this is your last game. And I wish you the best. And like I said, Patriots, boy, they got to get some weapons around Tom Brady. Because like I said, Tom Brady has not fallen off a cliff. But he needs guys to get open quick, because that's been Tom Brady's success the last 3 or 4 years. Getting that ball out quick so he doesn't take the hits. I don't care what you say. I'm 41 years old. There's no way I can take a hit like I did when I was 26. So you don't want Tom Brady getting crushed by a Terrell Suggs or a Bosa and getting him injured. It wouldn't work out. But that's all the football I got. Like I said, NFL is always ruined. Over the waves, Gronk, like I said, love you. Take care. We'll see what happens. Now, I know this was last week, but I got to give a special congratulations to Mike Trout, man, signing that $430 million deal for 12 years, staying with the Angels. And I have to laugh a little bit, because I know Bryce Harper, who I bashed about 2 or 3 weeks ago, taking his 13-year, $330 million deal, and also was trying to get Mike Trout to come to Philly. I'm laughing at you, boy. You're stuck in Philly now. Now you don't got a second fiddle, second star to go with to help you win World Series. You're stuck. And like I said, you've signed a record deal, 330. It was trumped by $100 million. $100 million more. And a lot of people say, does Mike Trout deserve it? Let me tell you, yes, he does. He is the best player by far in Major League Baseball. If every GM in the whole world of baseball said you can have one player, you got the very first pick in the world draft, who you pick? They pick Mike Trout. It's not even close. Number 1 in the league is Mike Trout. Number 2, you can argue all day. You can argue all day. Have fun with it. But here's the thing. He is in Anaheim. And now Major League Baseball has to do well for its brand and its star. You got to market this guy. And I know it's harder to do because he's on the West Coast. Because you know when those West Coast games are starting, everybody in the East Coast is in bed. You know, who's going to watch, you know, Mike Trout play, you know, a 7 p.m. Pacific time game where everywhere else, when that game is over, it's 1, 2, 3 in the morning. So Major League Baseball, step up. Every time Mike Trout goes to the East Coast, I don't care if he plays Baltimore, you put him on television. You market him. He is the moneymaker. But I'm happy for Angel fans because, man, Angel fans, especially after Bryce Harper was opening his mouth, they got nervous, didn't they? They got really nervous saying, oh, here we go. Big market team's going to take our boy. So I congratulate you Angels and Angels fans. Now all you got to do is put more people around him and make your team a star. Make your team a championship contender. But they're looking pretty good, and I'm happy with that. But we're going to move on because that was old news, but I had to say congratulations and then give a little, you know, low blow to Bryce Harper. Well, this show is actually going really quick today. I'm actually liking it. You know, March Madness is here. You know, NBA, you know, getting ready to get into the playoffs, which we're going to get into some NBA. Major League Baseball is about to get started. Who are your World Series favorites? You think it's going to be the LA Dodgers and Boston Red Sox again? Sure looks like that. I'll be honest with you, in the AL, it can be Houston, it can be the New York Yankees, or it could be the Boston Red Sox. All three of those teams looking great. But hey, I'm ready. I'm ready for all of it. Now let's get back to the NBA. I love basketball. You love basketball. We all love basketball. NBA is coming to a close. And right now in the West, you pretty much know who the teams are going to be. Sacramento fell by the wayside. Clippers are still on the rise, looking at that fifth seed. Looking at this Western Conference here, Denver's still challenging for the number one seed. And there's a lot of people that are going to be watching this. Because here's the thing. If the playoffs started right now, if you go to the state, your first round opponent is San Antonio. That is scary. A Greg Popovich team playing you in the first round. That's not a first round you want as a number one seed. Usually a number one seed, man, it's a simple 4 or 5 games, you're out. San Antonio, with Aldridge just playing lights out, he's got a scare at Golden State. So Golden State might say, hey, man, at the end of the season, if let's say the last game of the season, if you lose, you fall to the second seed, don't have to play San Antonio, and you can play, who's up there now, Utah, I might lose that game. For real. And I still think Golden State will beat San Antonio. I still think Golden State, the only team that can beat them to the NBA championship is really themselves. Can they beat Beaton? Of course. But I still think Golden State is a clear-cut favorite overall. But then you're looking at this here, and it's very interesting. Houston's number 3 seed. But then you look down to the number 6 seed, and you got OKC. What a first-round matchup that would be. Talk about a treat. First-round matchups this year, potential first-round matchups in the playoffs this year, both in the East and West, could be pretty interesting. And this would be the best one. Imagine Houston Rockets, a team that's played really well as of late, playing the OKC Thunder. PG-13, Russell Westbrook. God, if you're Houston, you got to be scared of that. Now, Houston's happy to be the number 3 seed because if they win in the first round, they'll get Denver in the second round. So really, what Houston really wants and is probably begging for is LA Clippers to lose a few games and OKC jump to that fifth seed. Because then if you're a Houston fan, you're thinking, okay, cool, woosah, we get LA Clippers in the first round, easy. We get Denver in the second round, we got them. We're in the Western Conference Finals. So Houston, you're waiting on a few things. Houston, you want Golden State to finish the number 1 seed, of course. You want Denver to be the number 2 seed, and you need OKC to either fall to the 7 or move up to the 5. And both are really possible. And imagine if OKC loses a couple games in a row and San Antonio and Utah win a few and OKC's number 8. Remember, I said in podcast earlier, I say if there's one team in the West that can really challenge the Golden State Warriors, I believe it's OKC Thunder. But they've been up and down lately. Up and down. You know, what bothers me about them is their shooting. You know, they're not a very good shooting team at times. I think Russell Westbrook does force a lot. I think Russell Westbrook needs to attack the rim a little bit more than he has. PG-13's been great. But man, it's going to be interesting to see those playoffs start. Now we go to the East. We pretty much know Milwaukee's got it wrapped up. Toronto's got the 2 seed wrapped up. Philadelphia's got the 3 seed, third seed wrapped up. Then you got the 4th and 5th seed. Boston just keeps losing 4 games in a row. Now, I'm a Boston fan, and I already told you at my first podcast 5 or 6 weeks ago, I said the Celtics will still go to the Eastern Conference Finals. About 2 weeks ago, I jumped off. I don't believe in them. I don't think, if you remember, I said a team takes the identity of either the coach or a star player. And the Celtics right now have their identity as their star player, Kyrie Irving, who's a bipolar head case. He's playing great basketball, but the Celtics are not. And the Celtics should be happy as hell their first round opponent is not Philly and is Indiana instead. So the Celtics could right the ship and get things going with the first round win against the Indiana Pacers. So Boston will win in the first round. But then Boston's going to have to face Milwaukee, who Milwaukee, in my eyes, keeps getting better and better. Their defense is scary. They really get after it. But like I said, the one Achilles heel, which I think will get exploited, is can the Greek Freak shoot? If the Greek Freak can't hit jumpers, they can get beat by Toronto. They can get beat by a Philly. They can even get beat by a Boston. Eric Bledsoe been playing out his mind. You got to love the way he's been playing. I love the way he plays this year. But we're going to see. But hey, that's what sports is all about, baby. We got March Madness. We're going to have the Final Four. We're going to talk Final Four next week on my show. We'll talk more football, of course. We always talk NFL. And then we'll get into the NBA. Like I said, I appreciate you guys joining my show. Please check me out every week. All you got to do is search up Game Point with Mr. Fundamental. You can find me on Anchor, Stitcher, Google Podcast, Spotify, plus many, many more. Thank you for joining my show. Once again, thanks for BlackTux.com for sponsoring my show. Super excited about that. Keep listening to me. We'll see you every week. You guys take care. This is Mr. Fundamental. This is Game Point. Let's get it.